Hey, everybody. I hope you are well. I hope everyone's healthy. Healthy in the mind, healthy in your spirit, healthy physically. You get the idea. So my daughter sent me a TikTok video of this young man called Garrett Stark. G-H-E-R-E-T. Garrett. And I was completely blown away. It reminded me so much of the days me taking care of my father, but his father is an ex-Navy SEAL. I was really, really, really just moved by the fact that this guy is so young. And so I decided I wanted to try to podcast with him. And you can follow him on Instagram and TikTok and all that. And it was supposed to be mostly about his dad. You know, dad was a Navy SEAL and blah, blah. And I got to be honest with you, it turned into this whole other thing where we explored the world of traveling the world, living for the moment, taking care of one another, and doing school online. And we even go further. And you know what's great about stuff like this? I feel like me and my friend Jimmy Shaka, when we used to do Bro Unleashed, we have a saying. We're not saying we're right, and we're not saying we're wrong. We're just saying. And thank God we still live in a world where we can just have conversation. Just have conversation. But I think you're going to be fascinated about listening to this following conversation. And I don't know. Well, I'll wait to hear from you. Don't forget to direct message me. I get all your messages. And hopefully get back out on the road and make people laugh as time goes on. But here we go. Enjoy today's podcast. Because I really did. I really, really had a good time with this one. And it didn't go in the direction I thought it would go, but I enjoyed absolutely every part of it. What a great, strong family that has taken probably one of the most, a very painful situation and turned it into just unity. Check it out.
So we are now in Kissimmee, about 15 minutes from Disney World.
Yeah, I know where you're at.
Yeah, we love doing Disney. I still take up my dad on all the rides.
What's your favorite one there?
Oof, probably, I gotta say Splash Mountain.
Really?
I love it. I love the water.
Mom?
Hi. Hi.
Jim, what's your name?
I'm Christine.
Nice to meet you, Christine.
Nice to meet you.
So Garrett was just telling me you guys like hitting Disney World a whole bunch. I used to live down there, and when I first moved down there, 88, it's near Clearwater, and they just opened Space Mountain, Epcot.
Oh wow!
Oh,
and the crazy thing was, I remember going on that the big globe ride. We get in, it was to the future.
Yeah.
And then all the way up to about 5-6 years ago, it was basically saying everything that goes on now. Like, this is in the future. People will be talking on the computer. You will no longer. And they had cell phones and all that. I was like, oh my God, it's mind blowing. And I remember all the way up to about 5 years ago going, they have to change all this because it's all here. And they did finally change. But our family goes down there probably at least once a year.
Oh, yeah?
I just realized that you got to try, because you probably haven't tried it yet, the new ride at Hollywood Studios, Star Wars one.
Been there, done that.
Oh, you did it?
Oh, my God, it was awesome. When you're in the ship and
yeah. When did you go?
Keep pressing the buttons. Yeah.
No,
not that one. There's another one now. It's really cool.
Yeah, like, there's another one.
You can only get on if you go at 6 a.m. in the morning because the line gets too long.
Wait, what is that one?
What's it called?
Rise of the Resistance.
Star Wars, Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah, you're talking about the Millennial.
How did I miss that?
It's new.
Brand new. Just opened up and... Yeah. So busy. As I said, you got to go at 6 a.m. and hopefully enter the queue in time so you get to ride.
I'm fascinated. I saw you on, well, my daughter showed me on TikTok.
How old is your daughter?
The one that showed me was either, I feel like it was my oldest one, because she usually finds stuff like that. She's 20.
Okay.
I also have a 15-year-old and an 18-year-old.
Okay.
And usually the 15-year-old and the oldest one are on TikTok.
Gotcha.
The middle one, just,
what are their names? Because
the oldest is Gabrielle.
Okay.
Then comes Kelsey, then Dorianne. All one word, Dorianne.
Okay.
But we call it Dory. Has nothing to do with the fish from the movie. It's, I think she's the only Dorianne in history. I don't know. Everyone goes, Dorianne, two names? Like, no, Dorianne.
And So you have all girls?
All girls. You see the way I look, right?
Four boys and one girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys, you grew up in Florida?
No, I grew up in Colorado until I turned 14.
Yeah.
And then we packed everything up and we were supposed to go on a year trip around the world, and that turned into 8 years?
Seven.
7 years?
Yeah.
And so kind of say I'm from everywhere now.
Wait a minute. So after Colorado, what did you do?
We packed up everything and, we just started traveling. We started living in the resorts.
In the timeshares.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So when you say, was this because of, your father or?
Well, kind of.
He turned 40 and that was the big deal because...
Matt and I, we love to travel. Matt has been, he's had a brain tumor since 1996.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, yeah, so everybody was like, you know, oh my gosh, what are you going to do? And we're like, we're going to have kids, we're going to travel, we're going to do everything we wanted to do, and we're going to do it right now. So we end up with 5 kids, and we bought 10 million points with Wyndham over time. And we literally bought enough so we could live in the resorts and just travel like full time. So that's what we did. We traveled full time and we lived consecutively for almost 7 years in the Wyndhams, just traveling all over the place. And that way he could show us the world, because that's what he wanted to do, is show us the world.
Wow. And so this is while he was in the condition that he is now.
No, I'm sorry. He was walking, and we were actually running marathons.
Really?
Yes, he always kicked my butt.
But he still had the tumor.
Yes.
He was missing a third of his brain.
Yes.
No kidding. But he knew, we're going to go see the world, and this is what we're going to do as a family.
Yes.
And we're just doing this. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And so what did you get out of that? So what were places that you've been to that you never expected was like that at all? Like in your head went, it's going to be like this.
I gotta say, there's three. One worst place I think I've ever been to. Well, just not the worst. It was just really bad experience. It was Fiji. And we went and stayed in Suva. And hotel at the welcome party, they're like, thank God we have no Americans here. And so it comes around to us and everyone's introducing themselves, because it's a small hotel and they do this thing where everyone introduces themselves, and it got to us and we're like, yeah, we're the Americans you don't like.
Okay, and then how did everyone react?
They all laughed, but multiple times they called us stupid.
Yeah.
Multiple
Americans
times.
Are stupid.
Now, the other side of Fiji is really nice. Like, the rich part, really nice.
Right.
We stayed one night there.
It's not a rich
part.
But,
you know, the tourist part.
Right, the tourist part.
But Hawaii's better. So might as well just go to Hawaii.
Right.
Why do you think they said that and felt that way? Because I've been to other countries, too, where... It depended on the time I went. Now, this is what year? 90...
This is
2015.
Yeah, 2015?
Yeah, 2015. Yeah, it was...
You're crushing my Fiji dreams.
I'm sorry. I think it's because we stole their water.
So,
Why do they feel that way?
You know,
I don't know.
It wasn't even just the hotel. It was everywhere. We went on this boat tour and it was miserable. And they kept making jokes at us like, you know, you taste just like chicken. I know you probably haven't tried people, but, you know, Fiji used to be big on cannibals. There's even parts of the Fiji area where you can't get to. Like, they live up in the hills and normal people can't get there. They're completely secluded off, cut off from the rest of the world. And it was...
Now, that being said, we were there 2 weeks. And we did not stay in the hotel area, the touristy area. We stayed in Suva. So we were in there. Like, we weren't, like...
They got sick because they didn't boil the water.
Yeah, I didn't know that we didn't boil the water.
Me and my dad had fire stomachs, I guess. So
we were local.
Last night we were there, so when we arrived at the airport, they literally had our van waiting for us in plastic. It had never been used. They had to take the plastic off of it.
And it didn't seat all of us. And we had all of our luggage.
It didn't even seat all of us, but it was the biggest
van. I remember my leg was up over my head, and it was a 2-hour drive. I don't know how, but
fine.
I fell asleep.
You were fine.
So it was a fine drive for me. I was sound asleep in the back of the leg.
But I mean, they were so nice. They wouldn't accept a tip, and they were like, you know, so nice to us. But that was the touristy area, you know, the airport. And then at the very last night, I said, let's see what it's like to really experience Fiji the fun way. So
it
we actually
amazing.
Booked one night in the resort, you know, right next to the airport.
Yeah.
Oh, that was incredible. They catered to us, and it was, you know, they bow down to you, they love you, but they do not love you in Suva. So just something
just
to
avoid
keep
Suva.
In mind. You'll be fine if you go to Fiji.
Duly noted.
Yes.
That is definitely duly noted. Won't be anywhere near there.
And then probably the next place I didn't really expect was, we stayed on this island. It was called Green Island.
Yes.
It was right off Cairns in Australia.
Okay.
And it's in the Great Barrier Reef. You could walk around the island.
That's great.
And it was cut off from tourists after 4 o'clock. So once it hit 4 o'clock, you had an entire island to yourself.
Yeah.
And that was just amazing.
Incredible.
It was.
So that was a hotel, maybe one hotel, all locals. And
yeah, I mean, touristy too. So basically the hotel.
They celebrated Halloween
rooms.
For us.
Yes.
It was on Halloween. They do not get Halloween there. They printed out like cartoon monsters and put them on trees. And
they
said,
brought
oh,
in
spooky.
Pumpkins. They brought in pumpkins.
Well, it's really spooky for you there, mine. There you go. You want to get real spooky? Why don't you put some raw meat on yourself and have a little swim around the island?
They did have crocodiles.
Oh, yeah. They had the world largest saltwater crocodile.
Yeah.
You can feed them fish sticks.
What a fascinating life. So it's almost like you guys took a situation that is where others would take this as this is the worst thing and go into depression, which I'm sure you guys bought a little bit of that, but you took what others would really sit there and dwell in, and you take full life advantage and bring light to it, which it just absolutely blows my mind. That, and it gives me so much hope that there's humanity and there's people like you out here. This is amazing. So when was so walk me through the of what goes on with Dad, because I saw you came around and I did that towards the end of my father's life. My dad, you know, when he was, well, my dad was able to, I'd be able to get him in a chair and around. He was a little heavier, and I'd bring him on the road with me nonstop, and I loved cleaning him, and I loved shaving him and playing his music and doing all that jazz, but. When did you guys cross that road when you knew you had to take that on full time?
Well, sorry
to hear about your dad.
He would have been in his 90s, and you know what? I mean, the greatest thing that could ever happen, I begged God my whole life. I said, please don't let this man be alone. That's all I wanted was him not to be alone. And by the grace and miracle of it all, I got to hold him to the last second of his time here. And it is the most graceful, beautiful. I honestly wish everyone had that opportunity with someone they lost or they lose. It was, and it was funny because as it was coming to an end, he was a World War II guy and a man's not, it didn't speak a whole lot, very funny, dry humor. And I knew he felt uncomfortable in the very end. He couldn't communicate. And I would say, listen, I'm holding you, so don't try to go when I'm not in the room. And I stayed in his room for probably 24 to 30 some hours towards the end. The nurse kept saying, it's come to the end. I'm like, that's okay. I got it. And my some family came over and like, Jim, you got a beard, you smell. And my nephew came over and he said, you're keeping grandpa alive because you smell. So why don't you go shower? And I went up to shower and I grabbed him and I said, don't even think about trying to sneak out of here. I'm gonna be back in 15 minutes. Well, I was in the shower, finished showering. My daughter came in and said, Dad, Grandpa's eyes are open. What? I knew what was going on. I ran downstairs and he was grasping onto his last breaths. And I just remember jumping in the bed in the same room in here. And I went, you sneaky bastard. You try to sneak out without me. I told you, this is not how you're going. And I got to do it to the last second. And it was the most beautiful, graceful thing. And I will always, always be thankful of God or whatever's out there, because I begged for that that's all I wanted my whole life. I'd be on tour and I go, please don't take them while I'm out on tour. If I wasn't home, I'm like, please don't take him. I don't want him alone. That's all I wanted. I just did not want him alone because he was such a powerful man for me. So this story is very moving for me. And I think it's moving for a lot of people. And to see how strong you are and to see how beautiful your souls are is just, it's mind-boggling. And I think people, it's not mind-boggling. It's the...
Hey.
Now, who's that?
This is one of my little brothers.
Come here, you can say hi, okay? Come here.
How old is this one?
He's a nine. Twin. He's nine.
What's up?
Hi.
Come here, other
Who
twin.
Are you?
Come say hi. No.
Really quick, just say hi.
Come say hi.
I'm thirsty. Okay, he's thirsty.
He's done.
Yeah, so we have twin 9-year-olds and then a 12-year-old. And then Garrett's 23. And then we have a 21-year-old girl. So.
My 12-year-old brother, he's a genius. Yeah. He puts me to shame with everything. He is fit, like really fit. He goes running for 5 miles at a 5 minute per mile pace, doing 200 push-ups. He reads the biggest books you can find just cause, and now he's trying to teach himself calculus.
He woke me up at 7:15 the other day, and it was with a question on physics. I was like, what do you, I don't know.
What?
Come say hi.
Yeah, here he is.
This is the genius.
This is the genius, yeah.
Hello.
What's up?
What's not down?
You're absolutely right. You know how cool it is that your brother talks you up? Very usually brothers are not as cool as this. I'm assuming he's not like that all the time, but for him to...
Well, yeah, I mean, he is 12. He's got puberty coming on.
What'd you do to your...
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I tried to embarrass him.
Tough times.
And how old, and what grade are you in?
Second.
Why, and how's that going?
Good.
Yeah? You like your teacher?
Yeah, well, we're online school.
Ah! I think that may be a new future.
It could be. I like it a lot. I love the online school.
I think a lot of people, what I think, I have a whole different outlook on school, and a lot of people would get nuts all about it, but I the whole concept for me that a kid has to sit down for 8 hours a day to go, you know, 20 minutes we learn about this, 20 minutes to learn about this, 50 minutes on that, where I'd rather them have life experiences, and I'd rather them go, okay, we're gonna learn this, but I got all day to figure this out. In the meantime, I can go out and play. You could do it on your time. And I kind of hope a lot of people start discovering that it's healthier for the mind and the family and everything else. But I'm sure there's other people that don't believe in that. I mean, there's people that need structure and all that, but I tell my kids all the time, like, listen, I don't need you a rocket. If you want to be a rocket scientist, you can be a rocket scientist. Knock it out. But don't put that pressure. I'd rather just be a good soul and good to people and know what being a good human being is. That's way more important than anything else. But
no, I'm with you. Yeah, we did that. Matt thought it was crazy when we did that in 2011, and I took the kids out of school and I said, we're doing online school. It was new concept at that time.
So you've been doing this for a while then?
Yeah. I went to regular, you know, public school up until seventh grade. Halfway through the seventh grade is when we packed everything up. So I switched to online school. Then when we were here in Florida, we stayed at the resort for 2 years, Bonnet Creek. And the school bus, we enrolled in school for one semester. It was supposed to be a year. The school bus would actually come onto the resort property to pick us up. It was crazy.
Okay.
So drive to Disney and stuff. And then towards the end of the semester, there was actually a shooting right outside my bus window. Walked up and shot the kid in the face. And
you witnessed this.
It was right outside my bus window. I heard the pop pop, looked over, and I saw it.
And then were you on the phone with me, or you texted me?
I texted my mom.
He texted me. He's like, oh, I think someone just got shot. They might be dead. They're right outside my window. I'm like, what? Hello?
And so that was my last day of school.
Yeah, back I said, you're not going back to that school.
And, yep.
You're like, I don't need to be out in this madness over here.
Yeah, so back to the online school.
They were, I hate saying this, but they were so dumb. I told them my uncle was Tony Stark, and I hung out with Thor and Bruce Banner. The time they said that I must be lying is when I said the Bruce Banner hulked out and started destroying everything in the city. And they're like, wait, this has to be a lie. And I said, yes, it's a lie. Obviously, we're in high school.
You know what's interesting is watching all you guys and the brother behind you. You can see the genius in him because he's a deep thinker. He absorbs everything. He's an absorber. He's an observer. And he's just kind of watching. He's watching from afar. He's taking so long. He's trying to figure me out. He's like, why does this guy's hair look like that? Why does he look like he's sleepy?
Yeah, definitely.
This boy has that gift.
You know, I debate all the time how many times I need to just hit him in the head to get him to my level, you know?
Garrett, you're still smarter than me. You're in college, but give me a year or so, and then I'll be your level.
And that's another thing. I know that, you know, with the online school stuff, you can accelerate.
Yeah.
At your speed.
I actually finished the entire semester of art in a day.
Take care of his
and I finished the math.
I'll be right back.
I finished math in a month, the entire semester. The next month, I finished language arts. And I was just able to have almost another summer by the time I was done.
I remember he went to go to try school. So he went to the school just to try it out for a day, shadow, and see if he wanted to do it. And he hated it because he couldn't read enough books.
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you on the schooling process because they send kids out there for 8 hours and they have people teaching them
these things, but honestly, the kids could easily learn it themselves much faster, because rather than one person teaching them, they can search the web, look on videos, see different researchers, and they can just see so many different perspectives and learn something that would usually take them
you should be in online school
a month or 2 months
is right now
2 weeks. And it's just so much. Some kids, I agree, need school because they don't have the discipline to actually go online, do their own homework. They need someone to tell them to do their school. But others, I feel like most of them, I feel like could just do online school because that only would take them maybe 3 or 4 hours, and that's all they need. They don't need to go there 8 hours a day. And there's also other variables, like if they don't get good enough tonight of sleep, they have their own time. They can wake up at any point and just do their school right away.
I bet you too, and I get such backlash for this, but the whole ADHD is always diagnosed out of education. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm not a doctor, and I can't prove that's a fact. But what I'm saying is, you know, I'll hear them go, you know, my kid's got ADHD. And I go, why do you know that? Well, the school said, well, maybe the curriculum and the style that's going there doesn't fit your child. And the child doesn't want to learn because he knows or she knows it's garbage what you're trying to infiltrate at their head at that age. Rather than, I can clearly see from you and others, if you give them something they want to learn, they'll learn everything about it. And the ADHD just disappears miraculously. Now, again, I'm going to get such backlash for this, but I don't care. There has to be some truth to that. So, and I always wondered, When did that come from? And one, yes, I'm sure people have ADHD and they have all that, but I always said it comes down to concentrating. And if you can't concentrate in a set, you know, in 1700, Ponce de Leon came here and he took out 8 ships. Who the hell wants to learn that when you're 8 years old? Of course the kid doesn't pay attention. Of course he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that.
You know, and then you go and turn on a movie, they're concentrating pretty well on that.
Yeah, and then they want to give you a drug.
Yeah.
Prescribed by who sells the drug that says your kid can, and then they, I hate saying this, but I'm tired of not saying this. I have friends that have just, they said, oh, you know, my kid's going to start taking a pill every day. And I go, why? Well, because they can't pay attention. Maybe school sucks where they're at.
That's right, it stinks!
Maybe the teacher sucks.
Some place stinks!
Do you ever think of that? You ever think maybe your kid, why is your kid able to be so amazing in this subject and this subject? They don't have ADHD there. I don't know, I'm waiting.
No, I agree. I had, just on the teacher level, like, I had a teacher that did not like me. So, always gave me D's and F's and all that. So, my mom actually wrote a paper on one of my assignments, gave my mom a D.
Yeah.
That happened to me in school, and my father had to go talk to the teacher, and she'd always make me write 1,000 times. And she'd always blame me for something that I didn't do. If she heard someone talking like, Jim Brewer, write 1,000 times, I shall not write in class. I go, I'm not talking class. I go, I didn't do that. She go, another 1,000 times, you will not talk back to your teacher. And it was, she would keep me home from field trips, and anyway.
Yeah.
You're bringing back like second grade therapy now for me.
Actually, Matt walked in. Well, you tell it.
Okay, so. Yeah, my dad kind of got fed up with her. And being a Navy SEAL and all, you know, he's very intimidating. He walks in as soon as school starts, and he doesn't care that all the students are there. He goes right up to her, and he doesn't yell, but he's
mad. You
need to. You know, and you are scared when he is mad. He's not there. before the school, talking about all the school, you asked the whole transition thing.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yes.
So, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago?
So in two.
It's kind of like a blur because he was doing, again, so well, running adventure races, always active. And I think you could tell there was some kind of change. Like he started doing really weird things, like getting up and going to the bathroom right there by
the bed.
Right
next to the bed.
And he's like, I don't know why I'm doing that. But he was still pretty fine aside from a few little, like he'd always tell the dogs kennel. Like they wouldn't be doing anything. They'd sit there and go kennel. So we're like, why are you saying kennel? But other than that, there wasn't really much wrong. Then one time we were up sledding on the mountains. They went down to a doctor's office. And the doctor said, yeah, so in about a month, you're just going to fall asleep and not wake up. That was
in 2017, April 2017.
And that day, he tried to sink under the water and he wasn't getting back up. He stopped walking. He stopped.
It was
talking.
Like it finally, for the first time, just, I don't know, something about that just hit him. And it had never affected him before. Because we'd had so many doctors say, 3 to 6 months, get your affairs in order. And he'd always told me, don't worry about it. Because I always was like, Matt, you know, don't you dare go anywhere, you know, because we have not only known each other since we were in preschool, but we have been going out since I was 15 years old. So that's, you know, it's been a long time. We've grown up together. And I was just like, I can't do this without you. Don't you go anywhere without me. And he was always like, don't worry, I'm fine. I'll be fine. I'm not going anywhere. And for the first time, he's changed. And I saw that in his eyes. It was crazy. So anyway, we went back, we talked to the doctor. How dare you speak to him like that? How dare you talk to us like this?
She actually prescribed what we found out later from another doctor, a lethal amount of chemo for him to take.
Yeah,
because we said that we still wanted to fight, that we're not giving up yet. So she said, fine, if you're going to go and fight, then to go all in. So she's prescribed the max amount of chemo that you can prescribe to someone.
And he was already kind of frail, so he would not have taken that well. And I knew the dosage because we'd been through the ringer quite a few times. He's already been on chemo 3 times, and he did the radiation chemo another time. So, so we've been fighting a long time, and I knew, and I'm like, how dare she do that? You know, maybe she knew I would know, but that was awful. So obviously he didn't go back on it at that time, but he also didn't go to sleep and pass away either. He continued on,
but that was the first time I picked him up was actually on the drive down from the mountain where we were sledding and stuff. He wouldn't get out of the car to go to the bathroom. So I'm like, okay, well, I was not prepared for his weight or anything, but I picked him up out of the car and we're parked at where you get the gas. So we got to go all the way to the front, to the bathroom, through the doors, no brakes, no nothing. I can't just set him down for a second, you know? So
right.
I took my breather, picked him back up and brought him back out. And I was like, okay.
And then Matt
now
was
I have
hooked.
To figure out how to get him upstairs.
Matt was like, oh, I got a ride here.
Hey, you know what? That's extremely honorable on every level. And I remember doing that. And I loved every second of it. Sometimes I actually started working out a little bit more so I could handle lifting him up and doing that. And I just made sure that I would never make him feel uncomfortable. Cause I can only imagine in his head, he already felt uncomfortable. You know, I mean, so.
Yeah, me and my joke dad, we always joke around all the time. And he, I swear, it's kind of a, when I'd pick him up and take him to the bathroom, he waited until I was holding him. All the time he'd go while I'm carrying him, all of my feet. And it was,
laugh about it though.
And
that's how we
laughing.
Know. That's how we know.
I'm like, Dad, I will pick you up. I'll leave you in bed. I'm fine with that. But no, he waited. He wouldn't go, and I'd be like, okay, well, we gotta get into the bathroom here, so I'm going to just go take him early.
Really?
You know, like early.
Yeah.
Early. Yeah. And no, he would always just manage to get me.
That is, and that's the thing. You're able to laugh, and he even has that sense of humor, and people don't realize how powerful finding humor during this too. They don't realize it is powerful if you can feel that way and think that way. It gets you through that way. Because I know deep down inside when you're alone, maybe on your own somewhere, I know what creeps up on you. I know what creeps up on you, Mom. But we hide though. I went through that a million times. No one's around, boom, the primal comes out. But we don't show that. We don't show that. That's what
remember another funny story with him. It was the weirdest thing. This is the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me since I started taking care of my dad. I was home alone with him and had him on the couch and stuff, and I had him hooked up. At the time, he had a pump because he just got the G-tube, so we weren't doing bolus?
Right, where?
So he was still hooked up to the pump and stuff, and he had a long G-tube. And so I walk away for, I don't know, a minute. I went to the bathroom. Come out. He has a G-tube on it in his mouth, and he's sucking on it. And it's just going all down his mouth, all down his shirt. And I just immediately just put the thing in, and he went on the ground. I forgot why he was on the ground, but he was on the ground. And I'm like, I'm not going to pick you up until you tell me why. And he said, I didn't do that. And
he would say, I don't know.
And
he didn't know.
No, this is what's weird. He said, I didn't do that. Bart Clark did that. So my dad, he says in the SEAL teams, you get different personalities. You get 7 lives like a cat or 9 lives like a cat. He was down to 4. He was down to 3. Bart Clark Stark, Larry Bud Nelman, and Pepe. And so I was like, you know what, Dad? I am not picking you up until Bart Clark leaves and Matt Stark comes back. And I yelled in his face. He just went, this is the biggest frown ever. And he's like, but what was so weird is he went like blank for a second. Just his expression just went blank.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he looked at me, rolled over, got up on all fours, went to his knees, and I helped him up the rest of the way to get him to the couch, but he hadn't moved. And I was like, wait, is Bart Clark and Matt still, or is it
something? Right.
Identity thing? Or?
No, what's going on here?
Yeah, it blew me away because, I mean, it was so weird.
Yeah, we had a few incidents like that at the end there. It was like, you know, where he was starting to kind of like not quite there all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Not sure what was going on. So,
it's not easy, but.
But I'll tell you one really cool thing that I don't think anybody really knows about. When he had got sick, when he had the stroke, and and we were trying to figure out.
Before.
Well, no, with Bowden.
He
had a heart rate check. So Bowden, why don't you tell him the heart rate check?
Oh yeah, the heart rate check.
Yep.
So in the SEAL team, he told me that in the SEAL teams, he could easily control his heart. So when he had the stroke and he wasn't moving in the hospital, I told him I wanted to ask him what book I wanted to read to him. And I said, raise your heart rate up to 100 if you want me to read this book. And lower it down to 90.
He would get it on the number.
Yeah, he would get it on the number. And I just ask him regular questions all the time, like, should I flip a heads or tails on the coin?
Yeah.
And I would just say 90s for head or 85 for tails. And he would move to almost the exact number every time.
It was within like 1 or 2 or exact on it.
It was incredible. The night that I remember the most, though, was when I was like, I was so tired. You know, I'd been in the hospital nonstop, and he wasn't really moving much. And they said, you know, besides the heart rate check and stuff, that everything looked so grim. and the doctors were saying, yeah, he's brain dead.
Yeah, they came in and told me he's brain dead. Which he's clear because he's not like right, to oxygen clearly. Or anything. Right.
And right. I said, it was just him and I. I was like, well, maybe you were coming in or something, but because I know you had been there. But I was like, Matt, am I doing the right? I'm your wife. I have to make these decisions. Am I doing the right thing here? Are you happy? Am I making all the right decisions? And I said, I got to go home for the night now. I got to go take care of the kids. I got to leave. You need to show me, because he wouldn't show me. He'd only do the heart rate check for this guy. And I'm like, I need the heart rate check tonight, right now. You got to tell me. I said, you need to show me something. His heart rate plummeted. It went all the way down to 30. The alarm started raising, like everything, beep, 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 and all the alarms and red beeps, and I mean, like the lights.
Nurses
started to come in, and all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I got it. And boop, right back to normal. I was like, okay, yes, I'm good.
We'll that's not the first time either. One time, on like a really important question, I asked him it, and I said, Dad, just go down far if you agree with this, and go up far if you agree with this. He went down to like 29.
Incredible.
And it was only for like a second, and then it went way back up to 100 again. It went from 105 to 29 in less than 5 seconds.
It was just boop, joop.
Do you document any of this ever?
Oh, I think I got one thing, because after that, I was like, oh my gosh, you guys should have just seen that, you know, of course. And there was times that I think we did get
we
video.
We did our best, but I wasn't really into filming. Like, I'm realizing now how many videos I could have up on my TikTok if I was just recording.
I know. Well, you know, I did a tour, and I brought my dad along, but I would always bring my dad, and I did it because of, and I just wanted the world to see him and get to see the relationship as he was going into a older, you know, getting older, and you have to take care of him. And so, but as it came to the very end, I was torn if I should videotape this, because I don't know, my wife would like, oh my God, we should videotape this. But it was when he had that final stroke and he couldn't really move. And I would like what you do, I'd bust his chops. I would purposely come in. I go, you know what? This is for the one time you didn't let me take the car out. We're going to hear Metallica Master Puppets for 3 minutes. And I turn off like, all right, I'll let you go. I'll put on your Hank Williams now. And I can tell just by his, just by sitting there, I knew there was emotions in there. I knew there was feelings in there. I knew something was going on. I could just tell the way his fingers would just move or anything like that. But I wish, part of me wishes I documented towards the very end. Now, even just for myself to show others. But I'll just say this. I won't keep you guys much longer. This is one of the most powerful, amazing, real life stories going on that I've ever encountered. And I didn't even expect to see the whole family and what you're all about. But to know there's people like you, and you have to know that the example that you lead is gonna change a lot of lives out there. And don't ever forget that. And I love that you make these videos, and the fact that you're not doing it for pride, ego, or vanity is the most important thing. It's that you're doing it out of caring, loving, and set an example. I see the way your brothers are. You talk up to your brother. You talk, there's, I did not expect this tonight. I don't know what I expected, but I think you're probably one of the most favorite human beings I've ever got to talk to in my whole life. And it's been such an, now, let everyone know where we can watch your stuff, because I'm the worst at promoting. So I'm going to ask you to put exactly where people could see, follow you, or see videos that you put out there of you taking care of dad and or your family. What other videos you put out there?
Okay, so I'm trying to put more stuff up on Instagram. Terrible about it, but I'm trying.
All you gotta do is this. You make the video, and then you go to Instagram, and then you post it there.
It's simple, and yet it seems just, it's like at the back of my head. See, I'm a Snapchat user most of the time.
Well, okay, well, get your brother there. He's a genius. He'll figure all that out.
Well,
he doesn't use social media.
It's terrible. My God, I love him. I love this kid. He's our future. I love him.
I told you he was a good kid.
But so I am doing more on Instagram, and that's Garrett Dean. It's Gharet. My mom did not know how to spell when I was born. And
it was
then
a long labor. Plus, have you ever seen Ghirardelli chocolate? I mean, GH. Right?
Yeah, actually, it's cool. I looked it up. I haven't seen any other like Garrett with my name spelled before.
There you go.
It's pretty awesome, actually. And then there is TikTok. I think that's Garrett Stark.
That's the big one, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then I just started posting to YouTube again. We actually made videos. You can see one of my dad. He had the best personality. He's on there talking about wrestling with Jello and all that
oh
stuff.
Oh, my God.
It's a good one. And I just changed the name from Garrett Stark on that to Stark Family. So now we can all be posting, and now that's a family account. And then always Facebook.
Facebook, and that one is...
There's Christine Stark, Garrett Stark, and
yeah, we're all
Matt
on
Stark.
There. So, and it's Starke, but...
And how long was he Navy SEAL?
So he went in 1990, and then he did, of course, his boot camp. A school, and straight to BUDS. And a lot of people don't know, we actually got married. I was 1 year behind him. So yeah. For my prom, I went and joined him in Coronado. We got married at the Del Coronado with one person, I don't even know their name. And
they had a second wedding.
And the judge.
The first one was a secret.
Everybody was at the beach saying, "Don't do it, man." That's all I remember from my wedding. And and then I went back and I told everybody. He was real traditional with his family. His mom was a teacher and stuff. His mother was, she was killed in a drunk driving accident when he was in ninth grade. I think that leads a lot of us actually, like how he thinks, you know, just
yeah,
keep me here forever because, you know, one more moment is you'll never get it again.
That's right.
But anyway, yeah, so he was traditional. We came back and I told everybody I got engaged, not married. And then we got married in December. So we always have two anniversaries. but he did that BUDS that whole first year that we were together. It was awful. First year went being married and being in BUDS. Oh my God. and then he was a SEAL and it was awesome and we had fun and it was great.
Things I did want to add,
yeah,
because you remind me of it, is he did always say he wanted to be here. He actually would say to me when we'd go to like the gym or something or in the locker room and stuff, he'd be like, "You know, Garrett, I always want to be around, so if I get too much, just put me in an old folks home and just try to visit once like every few years."
Oh my
you know
gosh.
Just keep me around.
Never.
And I'm
never.
Like, crazy dad, I'm gonna do all I can for you.
He yeah. told me just visit him once every 7 years and he'll be happy.
Well, I think you guys go over and beyond as a family. And I hope a lot of people get to see your story because it's powerful, it's moving, it lives by example. And it's an absolute honor talking to all of you. It's I can't thank you enough. You made my day when I saw that video. And I just know when people come up to me and they go, "Hey, I see your videos." I'm like, "Have you seen this kid? Have you seen this family?" So it's a beautiful thing for your dad and for your whole family. It's amazing. And I look forward to talking to you guys in the future. I can't
thank you. Thank you for sharing your story with us too.
Yeah.
You know, you're amazing.
We'll do Disney. We'll do Disney.
Yes,
yes,
you should come do Disney.
Yeah,
with
that
us.
Sounds awesome.
We know how to do Disney.
We can get you on all the rides.
Oh, yeah.
an hour
in Hollywood Studios. We can be done with every single ride in the Hollywood Studios in exactly
we'll get you on the
3 hours
ride.
And 39 minutes.
All right, sounds like we have some things to do.
That sounds awesome.
You guys are amazing. Thank you so much to the whole Stark family.
Bye. Thank you. And we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Take care, guys. Now watch me try to turn this off. Here's another hole.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good one.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Make sure you follow me on my Facebook page and the Instagram page and all that jazz. Once in a blue moon, I'll put a Twitter out, but I don't really do Twitter. I'm just being honest with you. Stand-up comedy videos are on the way. Keep checking in my Facebook and my Instagram. And I hope everyone's doing well. Find the laughter. It's always healing. Whatever you got going on, make sure you lift each other up. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for listening.